said the sock lives, as that little bit of music told you. That music composed and recorded by the gentleman who's with me here, my co-host Anthony Howell.
Hi.
Were you very inspired when you wrote that bit of music?
I was listening to a little bit of everything. The screaming in the far background is kind of meant to be funny, but also sort of reminds me of The Great Gig in the Sky, you know, that Pink Floyd song with the
there's screaming in the background?
If you notice in the fourth harmony, you can hear me kind of in the background. There's like a very loud, like there's like a it's a background vocal harmony, but it's kind of like kind of sounds kind of stupid.
I didn't hear any screaming. Is this like it's that there. Bay City Rollers song?
No, it's like Great Gig in the Sky, you know, in that Pink
no,
Floyd
I mean
song.
The whole screaming thing. You know who the Bay City Rollers were?
No.
Well, you call yourself a music aficionado.
I do. I don't. I call myself a musician. That doesn't mean I know. I'm not one of these like encyclopedia. I'm not like a
apparently
vinyl
not. Bay City Rollers were all the things back in the early 70s.
They were a band
from, I think, Scotland.
I've heard of them. I just couldn't. If you were to play,
well,
the music,
there was
I
one song that they did, and there was a sound on it. And the rumor that got out was that when they were recording the song, somebody was shot and killed.
Oh,
that's what the sound is, because it's entirely likely that a song would continue to be recorded as somebody is shot and killed.
What was the? What were they? Were they sharing the studio with some other sort of unsavory business? Or
no, this is before East Side West Side rap battles.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. there was just this rumor that it was a gunshot and somebody was killed. Like, can you imagine the recording session? It just continues as normal. When you just pull out a gun and blow someone away, right back to your fingers on the guitar.
Well, I guess their budget wasn't what they wanted it to be. They just had to leave it in. I mean, you'd think you'd just be able to re-record something, but
you would think so once you hid the body.
Yeah, well, you gotta hide the body. I mean, come on.
Listen, I don't profess or encourage people to take anyone's life, even though there are some people who deserve it. The fact that I have a stock of quicklime in my home doesn't mean anything. Don't take any inferences from it.
What's quicklime?
Look it up.
Okay.
It's some people use it to dissolve bodies.
Who does?
Killers.
What's calcium oxide, commonly known as quicklime or burnt lime, a widely used chemical compound. It is a white, caustic, alkaline, crystalline solid at room temperature, ideal for disposing of corpses. From the Wikipedia page, can you imagine?
I don't know why I have quicklime. I just like to be prepared for all possible instances. All right, we got our first email about the show.
Come on.
We got our first we actually got two emails this week. Two.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah. That's trending positive here. We're just going in the right direction.
Bowled me over. There's thousands of people listening, and we got two emails, and this has got us stunned. You want me to read
it? This is good news. Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it. What's the audience saying?
This is from D-Coop. D-Coop. Probably an alias. I don't know. Yes. Is anybody's last name actually Coop?
I don't think so. Maybe. It sounds like a nickname. I was gonna say, is he a farmer?
All right. Email says, great show! !! Like the before four jokes, since I grew up around the corner from Ohad. Ohad is the third member of Before Four that the other two members hate.
Ohad.
Ohad. That's his name. I think it's an Israeli name.
It sounds like maybe like, you know, like J Train, Ohad, you know, like,
Before Four was not that cool. Their name was Before Four.
Well, that's why it would stand to reason that they would have like quick, cool nicknames.
They didn't have a cool band name. Why would they have cool nicknames?
In their minds, I'm sure they thought it was super cool.
Do you remember the video? They were wearing like life preservers.
Did they have like oversized like puka shell necklaces on?
Yes.
I feel like that was a thing for a minute.
And spiked hair.
It's very spiked hair, like super gel.
And D Coop says, looking forward to you bringing back Much Music. I'll be bringing back a Much Music style online channel called New Music Nation, because Much Music is dead. Also, Du Fromage 2020 Quarantine Edition. This came in last week. Fromage 2020 would have had to happen in December of 2020.
I feel like it's kind of past the point of expiration on that one.
Yeah, but I wanted to know if Ohad was a jerk to them, to him.
Oh, I see.
And he said, he responded, only met him once. He was not a jerk, though he did spell my name as Danielle. In brackets, it's Daniel.
Why was he spelling his name?
He must have written an autograph for him.
Oh, I see.
Because he just stood there and said, could you spell my name out loud?
You'd figure the one autograph you have to write, you'd get it correct.
Maybe he was so overwhelmed, his hand was shaking.
Yeah. He put a couple of one extra L and an E at the end of.
Trevor Bryant from Brandon, Manitoba is our second email.
Wow, we have audience members all over this great
nation. All over. They're little cells waiting, like
pockets.
Cells of incels waiting
so far they're sleeper cells. I mean, let's hear it. We want to hear your questions and comments, so keep it coming.
Hi, Ed. Guess this is your first email for Ed the Sock Lives. No, it's not, but I understand why they would think so.
Of course.
Great shows. Enjoy listening to them. All the shows on the FU Network are great. Loved the one show where you were talking about landfill smells. At the time of the show, I was working at the city landfill and just happened to be in a garbage truck. There are definitely many smells, all not good smells. Keep the shows coming, and I am a Patreon $5 subscriber.
Well, thank you very much.
How about that? So if you people want to contribute and keep these programs going, then you got to go to patreon.com/FU Network TV and sign up for $5 a month.
Man's got to eat.
Yeah, we had a healthy Patreon going, and then the pandemic hit, and it slowly dropped off, just wilted away, like watching stop-motion video of a body being eaten in the wild by predators.
Or being decomposed by quicklime.
Yeah, that wouldn't have to be stop motion. That happens fairly quickly. That I know. The Patreon dropped to half of what it used to be.
Let's bring it back up.
Yeah, I mean, I understand if times are tight. I don't understand why $5 is going to break you. But hey, you know your financial situation better than me.
I feel like if we're asking people for money, we shouldn't question their financial situation.
Do I need you to be on my conscience on my shoulder? Do I need you to be Jiminy Cricket?
Hey, why not? You have to have some kind of a antagonist on this show, don't you? You can't just go completely off the rails on your own. Someone's got to keep you in check.
Yeah, why do you determine that someone is you?
I'm the only one here.
All right, I guess by default it falls to you.
I think it's
if
by
I was
default.
To choose somebody, I would have chosen somebody more astute.
Well, it's like that kid. What's that character's name in Silicon Valley who keeps failing up?
Oh, Big Head.
Big Head, yeah. He's got his
great
big gulp.
Great show,
and he's...
by the way. If you've not, a sleeper show.
Fabulous.
People don't know that show. Silicon Valley. It's called Silicon Valley. It's a show
like
by
Judge.
Mike Judge,
brilliant.
Who did, you know, Idiocracy and did,
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill
Beavis
and
Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead. His stuff is always razor-sharp satire.
Did he do Office Space as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
Everything he touches is pretty great.
It's brilliant. It is a brilliant show with a brilliant cast.
The dialogue is expertly constructed.
The characters are amazing. It's about this startup, not an internet company, but
They're trying to develop an app, I believe.
Yeah, and it's the twists and turns it takes are hilarious. It's actually laugh out loud, not like LOL that you put on mildly amusing emails.
Not verbal texting.
Is laugh out loud. You see, remember that scene where they got the garage door painted?
Oh yeah, by the I think he was like a Mexican gangster or something like that.
That was one of the greatest laughs I've had on television ever.
Where the garage door gets down and the guy's riding a giant wiener.
Yeah, don't blow it.
Something
but
like that? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, people have
spoiler
to.
Spoiler alert
still,
for a show
that still
that's 8 years old.
That it's not 8 years old. It just
I think
finished
it
last year.
Well, it doesn't mean it didn't start 8 years ago.
It's only four seasons. So it couldn't have started 8 years ago unless it was a British show.
2014, premiered in 2014. How many years ago is that? 7. Okay, I was pretty close.
But you weren't exact, so shut up. All right. we're going to go to a break. What we're going to talk about today is the Justice League Snyder Cut. I saw it. Did you watch it?
No, I don't. I'm not going
to
be.
You'll be able to offer very informed opinions.
I didn't. I should have maybe, but I guess the whole point is I just don't give two shites about the DC universe anymore. I've given up on it. It sucks.
I love DC Comics more than Marvel, but Marvel makes good movies. Yeah. Not all of Marvel's movies are good, by the way.
We'll touch on it. We'll give you free reign here. I'll just.
Oh, you're going to grant me free reign?
Why not?
Oh, well, okay. Thank you, my lord, for granting me free reign. Don't forget this is called Ed the Sock Lives, not Anthony Prattles. All right. I'm not exactly sure why you didn't watch the Snyder Cut, the Justice League. You knew we were going to talk about it this week.
I did, and I thought to myself, when will I have the time? It's 4 hours long, and
what are you talking about? You sitting there with your little espresso cups that you spend all day looking at online? You have tons of you go driving with Giada with no particular aim in sight, no particular destination. You've got nothing but time.
I didn't get around to it. We started getting back into Sons of Anarchy. And I know, okay, glorification of the bad guy. You hate that stuff, but...
You're right, I hate that stuff.
But listen, it's, I don't know, as good or slightly less good than the first watch, since you know I already know what's going to happen. I don't know why I didn't bother getting around to it. Maybe I don't get it. I don't even know if I have it. Where would I find it? HBO? Max?
Crave.
Crave. So it's on Crave if you subscribe to the... If you have the extra HBO package.
I think it's just on Crave. I don't think it's HBO.
Okay, listen, part one, Ed reviews the Snyder Cut. Next week, part two, I might get around to watching it. But you go ahead. You speak to the people out there.
All right, well, you know what? You're kind of irrelevant at this point anyway.
Does my opinion, I don't have the same long storied history of being a DC Comics fan or a particular interest in the DC universe as it sits. I'm much more, even if I did watch it, look, my commentary isn't going to be that great. I could get into it on Marvel stuff, but DC has just been one disappointment after the other for me. So I just don't have the same, excitement about any of that stuff. But you please.
Well, it was. Thank you for granting me leave to speak on my own show.
I'll step back.
The Justice League Snyder Cut. I don't know why they call it a cut, because I don't think he cut anything. The thing is 4 hours plus long. All right. In the actual running time, exclusive of credits and so on, 3 hours, 53 minutes. Of that 3 hours and 53 minutes, 24 minutes and 7 seconds are slow motion. Think about that. Think about how much shorter the movie could have been if he hadn't indulged in constant. He did slow motion. He did super slow motion. He did super, super slow motion. It was ridiculous. Sometimes when it would go from super, super slow motion to slow motion, you'd think, wow, we're getting some momentum. And it was still in slow motion. 10% of the movie that has been calculated as being slow-mo. That is a ripoff of my time.
Is that for real?
That's absolutely for real.
Is it adding anything to the...
No.
Does he just do slow motion for like emotional effect?
He has no other cinematic tricks. He has no other way of indicating drama or prestige or anything like that. He has to stick with slow-mo. He uses the same trick over and over. That's like telling different jokes with the setup and using the same punchline as another joke. It doesn't actually fit. So over and over, that's his style. Slow-mo, slow-mo, slow-mo. How about actually making a coherent movie rather than just slowing it down? We'd also slowed down my pulse rate because I was falling asleep during part of it. The first 2 hours and 20 minutes could have been about a half an hour long with the story that was in there.
Was it just like origin story after origin story, or was it?
Well, there's the only one that gets an origin story is Cyborg, because he's the only one who didn't have a movie before, nor is he sort of anybody who's known in pop culture.
Was his origin story portrayed well? Did it land, or was it just kind of?
It was
like,
portrayed well, but I didn't care. I instead of telling one coherent story, he decided to tell five stories half-assed. And it was fractured. It was splintered. It didn't respect my time. The whole thing was masturbatory. A tribute to his grandiose ego. It was overwrought. The use of this operatic music was just like, I was laughing. It was so pretentious
cheese
and over the
9,000.
Top. Yeah, it was awful. It was self-indulgent.
What would you have done? What would you have done differently?
Not made that movie. I would not have made a movie. See, the problem with Zack Snyder is he doesn't understand superhero movies are supposed to have elements of fun in them. There's supposed to be some element of joy and inspiration, not make you depressed. It's like he was making a film, an Icelandic film. Like all the films that come out of Iceland are depressing films because everyone who lives there is depressed because it's dark most of the time and it's cold. So it's like he was making some Icelandic art house film. Everything was dark. Like there was one scene with a sky that had blue sky in it. The rest all dark with debris in the air. it went from overwrought operatic music to over loud hard rock music. Like just there was no consistency to the music score at all.
Wonder Woman's theme music is pretty cool though. I do say I remember that.
Well, Wonder Woman, there was one scene in this movie that wasn't, well, one, not, it's a long scene that wasn't in the Whedon cut, which is shows Wonder Woman in action, which is really kick ass.
Yeah.
It starts out at the beginning with this great Wonder Woman sequence where she's stopping these terrorists in England. And
is that the one?
So badass.
Scene, is that the scene where she's in the trenches?
No, no. It's modern day England.
Oh, okay.
And she saves a bunch of school kids and some other hostages. It is amazing. It is an amazing sequence.
Her sequences tend to be great.
And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, maybe this movie won't be so bad because this is a pretty epic scene. They and then from there, it just falls off a cliff.
Yeah, it's Ben Affleck moping around.
Ben Affleck actually wasn't bad as Batman. As an older Batman who's been around 20 years, Ben Affleck was all right. But the rest of the movie was ridiculous and absurd. And the thing is, superhero movies are supposed to be ridiculous and absurd. The whole concept of these people's powers is ridiculous and absurd. But we accept that.
Why try and ground it too much in real life?
That's the thing. When you start, he wanted to make it all about politics and social effects and so on, and make it like, what if the superheroes existed in the real world? Well, then it wouldn't be the real world anymore, would it?
Why not
That's
just go
like
make
saying, what if that purple door was painted orange? Well, it wouldn't be purple anymore, would it?
Why not just go make that movie? You know what I mean?
Like, why can't somebody make your own heroes up and go make it up? I was embarrassed. For Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg. I was embarrassed for these characters. They deserve to be in a better movie. I was ashamed for them that they had to participate in this route. The Flash was also good too. The Flash was really obnoxious in the Whedon cut. He gave him a bunch of really obnoxious lines. Sure. And in this one, he actually was charming. I'm actually looking forward to the Flash film now, whereas before there was no way you'd drag me into that theater. So Snyder cut, first 2 hours and 20 minutes, just deadly. It's like watching lead paint dry. You're not only watching something dry, but you're breathing in noxious fumes.
So boring and bad for you.
Oh, it's just dragging on. And then at about 2 hours and 20 minutes, it starts to pick up. The final hour is a decent hour of action.
Oh, that's good.
The villain is still lame as hell. And the motive is still really transparent, and it doesn't provide any whoa like revelations. It's it pretty much hit you on the head with a 2x4.
Okay. But
the last hour is entertaining, but I had to sit through 3 hours to get to the last hour. Why would I do that?
You know,
that's
sometimes
like eating a meal and the last three bites are good, but the first 50 bites were like you were eating dreck. You're eating, you know, crap.
Sometimes it's fun to just turn on Avengers Endgame and watch the last hour, because I like the last hour of Endgame. But like the first two are kind of a snore fest. They're not as good as, say, Infinity War. I felt Infinity War overall was a better film than Endgame.
I had my issues with it too, but
so what
I,
is
I liked it.
I liked both. Yeah.
And when I went on Twitter and said that no movie should be 4 hours long, people started saying, but you watch TV shows, you'll watch like 10 episodes of a TV series, and that's 10 hours. It's like, yeah, but the episodic structure means that at the end of the first hour, I have a complete story. It may lead into the next episode, but if I leave it there, there is something of a conclusion of the action that happened in a disciplined 1 hour show before that. There's no comparison whatsoever. No. That's like saying, well, you like to go out for a walk for an hour every day, so you probably would enjoy the Bataan Death March. Like it's ridiculous.
It's a strange comparison because it's just not the same. I mean, a movie is like we have kind of one story to tell here, and in episodic television, you kind of have one story to tell, but you have so much more room for character development and tangents and stuff like that. It's like, and it's also the whole point of episodic television, it seems today, is like cliffhanger after cliffhanger after cliffhanger. It's like to keep you coming back, right? So at least in
there's so much competition.
Yeah, there's so much competition.
People who want to make superhero movies like real and dark and relevant, these are aging fanboys and girls who can't seem to recognize that it's cool to still like superheroes, which is really designed for you know, the child in you. They're not designed for the adult in you, but they want to make, they want the stuff to be dark so they can feel like, well, I'm not just somebody who's indulging my inner child. This is really relevant and makes a comment about today. Shut up. All right. This is the same people who called Pepe Le Pew a rapist. You're imposing adult sensibilities on something that should not have adult sensibilities imposed on it. And do the Snyder fans hate me for saying that, but I hate Snyder fans with the heat of a thousand suns.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So it was overall a better movie than the Whedon movie, because Whedon movie was like 3 hours there was nothing, no coherent tracking, like consecutive sequences
kind of stitched together.
Yeah, that I could say, well, that was an excellent sequence. Yeah. There was the Wonder Woman sequence and the last hour of the Snyder Cut were watchable. So, but that's like comparing, you know, what do you want to eat more, a solid stool or a soft serve? Like, it's thanks very much, but I'll pass.
It's a good question, though. Probably soft, because you don't have to chew. Or is it a rhetorical question?
It was a rhetorical question, and I'm disturbed that you decided to think about it. All right. That's my view of the Snyder Cut. Anthony had nothing really to offer because he didn't bother watching it because he was too busy with his Vinsanity workout. And driving in Scarborough for no good reason.
I wasn't in Scarborough. I was in the Forks of the Credit, which is the other direction.
What, near Fort Credit?
No, Forks of the Credit, which is the Credit River, which is, I guess, northwest of Toronto, about 40 minutes.
That you had time to do.
Well, it's my birthday. I wanted to go rip around. You know, there is something just in the joy of driving. Like, it's fun to find a fun road to rip around on. I do like that.
Do you drive reckless?
No, I know what I'm doing.
All right. Do you still have that insurance where you can't drive at night or something?
The insurance that I had was it would track my driving style and then I would get a discount if I did a good job. But I already qualified for the 30% discount. So I've turned it. I only turn it
now
on
and pop wheelies.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can try and slide around corners and have fun.
All right. You know what I'd like to talk about now is kind of a bit of a change in venue from talking about superhero films. But I'd like to talk about breakfast cereals.
Ooh.
Did you see this story where this comedian is alleging that in Cinnamon Toast Crunch, he found two shrimp tails?
I'm looking at it now. It's it seems odd.
It seems extremely suspect when you understand the manufacturing process of these cereals.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem at all possible shrimp tails could get into the box. It doesn't seem, it's so unlikely. I can't imagine how it could have happened. They would have been pulverized to begin with, and we never would have known the shrimp tails were there. For intact shrimp tails to have actually been in the cereal box, I call BS on this. This guy is a comedian who's trying to get some attention for himself.
I've never heard of him before. Yeah. He certainly accomplished that.
Yeah, he got attention. And I think that he's trashing a food product just to try to get attention, because it's not like there's people standing on the assembly line eating sandwiches or shrimp cocktails that food could fall into the cereal. These mass-produced cereals, there's no human beings anywhere. except at the beginning to press the start button, at the end to fold the boxes of the cereal or something. But during the actual process of making the cereal, the actual food product portion, there's no human beings there that can throw shrimp tails in. So this is extremely unlikely.
Obvious trolling. I think it's just like, okay, maybe it would be believable if the bag was sealed, but it's just like the photo that comes with it is an obviously open bag.
Well, so it's okay, like, but if so the bag was sealed, how would he know what was in it?
Well, I don't know. Like maybe if he had caught it, you know, sometimes if you get a prize or whatever, you can pull the bag out and look and see if there was something out of the ordinary. I mean, you have to pull the bag out of the box to open it anyway, right? I usually give it a shake and give it a look. I don't know.
Really?
Sure.
I'm discovering so many of your strange habits.
Well, you want to inspect, right? Because like you see when with certain cereals, you want to know how much they get ground up towards the bottom of the bag so that you don't accidentally pour in like dust on your last bowl of cereal. So it kind of gives you a sense of like, all right, am I going to pour the bottom of this into the next bag of, you know, out of the next box so I don't encounter that crushed up dust at the bottom. You ever get that in your cereal?
I don't understand why in this day and age when they can clone barnyard animals,
why can't they
can freeze people's heads? Why can't they make cereal that is evenly distributed within the sleeve?
Yeah, why not?
Why does it have to be that there's nothing at the bottom but concentrated dust?
And you don't know. And so if you take a look before you open the bag, you can kind of guess and say, okay, well, I know, you know, you judge how much cereal you if you eat a cereal a lot, you can judge how many bowls you have by the weight of the box when you take it out of the cupboard. You know what I mean?
Well, you've got some mad skills.
I don't know. It's just something that it's like you know when the milk's going to run out and you're like, oh, I think I have probably one splash for my tea or whatever, right? Like you get a sense of it, like when to order the next carton because you're like, based on how much it weighs right now, I know that 2 to 3 days from now, I'm going to run out. So I might as well get another carton so that I can keep the milk flowing freely. And I don't run out and say, oh, I got to go get another one now and, you know, miss it. Because if you wake up early and you don't have milk for your tea or whatever, it throws you off a little bit and it's a bummer. So it's just like, it's really just about maximizing the enjoyment of the little things.
Your life is just one arduous trek after another.
I like it, man.
Yeah,
it's fine tuning. It's fine tuning all the little
happy
things.
With your espresso cups that you ordered.
I love them. I got another set recently so that I don't run out. That was the other thing. They only came as four. So I was like, if some of them are in the dishwasher, I want to be able to have the one that I like. So I have two green ones now instead because it's multicolored on the inside. They're black on the outside, flat black on the outside, and then they're red, yellow, blue, and green. And I find the green one is like the best of the colors. So I make sure that I always have a green one in the rotation.
What difference does the color make to the taste of what goes in it?
What do you mean? Food is a visual experience as much. I mean,
taste experience.
No, it's how. Okay, then how do you explain 5-star restaurants that can get away charging all this money? Presentation is huge.
They're charging that money because of rubes like you who think that the food is better because they rearrange it on a plate.
The experience of
eating. I can go to one of those all-you-can-eat buffets and my plate looks like a dog's breakfast and the food is perfectly fine.
I know, but there's still something to that, though. Like, if you see
it's called chicanery.
They make it
seem like it fills up more of the plate so you don't realize you're being ripped off with basically appetizer-sized food that's being sold to you as a main course.
If you're at say you're at the Mandarin, are you more likely to take an egg roll from the steam tray that has one egg roll in it or a big pile of them? Which one do you find more attractive to take from?
The big pile.
Right. So wouldn't you say that in some sense it's visual?
No, that's practical.
Why is that practical?
Because the one that's in the bin, that one has been there for God knows how long. It's been there long enough that all the others were taken before it. So it has been there. It has gone stale.
Right.
And so practically, I would rather take from the bin that is more full because it has been refreshed more recently. This has nothing to do with how it looks. I'm not judging the aesthetic value of the egg roll.
Of course you are, because if you see, you are. No, I'm not. Everybody is, because the one that's left in the steam tray is shriveled and awful, and nobody wanted it because
it looks exactly like all the others. I just know that it's been there for too long, like the last kid chosen on a sports team. There's a reason.
There's no way you can disassociate visuals from the taste experience.
Yeah, I absolutely can.
No, I don't. There's no way. Something has to.
See, I always wondered, who are the suckers
that get convinced
to pay more for food because somebody arranges it nicely on a plate? And now I find out who the sucker is. Anthony, he of the green espresso cups.
I'm telling you, like when I was working, like I worked at a place called, I think it was a pasta restaurant. It's called Lavetto. They're still around. I worked there for a little while, and I was like trained how to present the spaghetti carbonara on the plate. And there was like a specific way that you were supposed to make it look, because people associate the look and the presentation with the quality, so you can charge more. I'm not doubting. I'm not going to deny that. But there is something to presentation. I mean,
yeah, you can charge more.
But even at home, like, do you just, like, if you cook us, if you make whatever, I don't know, like if you make a steak or like you throw a chicken in the oven, don't you kind of want to put a little piece of parsley on it to make it look better?
No.
To put some green on the plate, isn't there some sort of like, I don't know, intrinsic instinctual
association?
I put green on the plate
only if I'm going to eat greens. I don't put it there as some kind of visual garnish. Who am I fooling?
I think you're
I'm the one
out.
Made it.
I think you're missing out.
No, I think that you're a sap, and they see you coming.
Well, no, because when is the last? I'm not a sap. I mean, because I'm talking about, first of all, the way I like to prepare it at home, which means I'm already saving money. Second of all, practically speaking, I can't even go out to a restaurant right now, so that doesn't really. Okay, maybe in the past that would have some weight
in
that argument.
But you take the time to present your food on a plate that you're going to cut apart and eat anyway.
Yeah, but it's nice to look at.
Are you going to look at it, or are you going to eat it? What, are you going to frame it and put it on the wall?
Well, I don't take photos of my food. It's just like when you prepare it and you make it look nice, there's some association with like, look at what we've done. We haven't just thrown a bunch of stuff on a plate. It's like we took a little bit more care and a little bit more artistry with our food, and there's something to that.
You got way too much free time. How much were those green espresso cups, by the way?
They weren't that bad. I bought them on Amazon. I think the set of four with the saucers was maybe like $40 or something like that.
For little tiny cups.
Is that a lot? Well, they're really well made. I got they're cool colors, and they're really well made. And
they're cool colors. Oh, you're the kind of consumer that keeps the economy going.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Endless consumption. That's the name of the game here.
All right. But getting back to cereals.
Sorry.
They also don't have prizes in them anymore.
The prizes they do have are stupid. Like
they're like crosswords or word games. Or they have something where you can go online.
Go online, exactly. Code. Exactly.
I don't want to go online.
I don't want to scan
instant
a QR.
Gratification.
Right.
When I go through that cereal thing trying to get to that prize, I want instant gratification. I don't want to have to go and take another step. And I don't want it to be some little thing like a crappy temporary tattoo.
No.
The old days, there were actual prizes. There was actually plastic toys that
cheap,
were kind of cool.
Cool for about cool for the duration of the bowl of cereal. And that's all that really matters.
I don't, by the way, I don't put milk in my cereal.
What?
Yeah, I eat my cereal crisp. I don't like milk in my cereal.
You should talk to my wife, because she is the exact same way, and it drives me absolutely nuts.
Well, she obviously shows common sense, other than the fact that she's your wife.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's still wondering what the hell happened there. But
yeah, well, let's hope she never figures it out.
Yeah, keep my fingers crossed.
All right. Why don't we go to a break, which is now. We will play commercials. I wonder if they're going to play them for that roti house. There's one that they play, I always wanted to go there, but then the lockdown happened.
I bet they take pride in the presentation of their dishes.
Probably, but also so they can charge more. So, Anthony,
yes,
segging away from cereals.
It's a hot topic, apparently.
It is a hot topic.
Who would have thought our biggest disagreement?
Just to reiterate, I really do think that comedian guy made the whole thing up, because if you look at the photograph that's circulating of him, he looks like a complete schmuck.
Right.
He's making one of those, ooh, I'm a comedian faces. You know those faces comedians make in their publicity pictures? Those, ooh, look at me, I'm zany.
Oh, like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
ooh,
yeah,
I'm ooh. Funny. Look at me. Look at the look, face I can make. I must be me. Hilarious.
Is he sitting in the toilet pose?
No, he's standing up with his wife, who's on in Boy Meets World.
Oh, wow. I think they both need a bit of a career boost, to be honest.
Well, she's doing
Boy
fine.
Boy Meets World, Topanga.
She's doing fine. I think the show's still on or something. They did a redux of it or something. I don't know.
Of course they did.
But I think she hasn't done something desperate like claiming that there was shrimp. It's like the old Bob and Doug McKenzie sketch. You know who Bob and Doug McKenzie are, you zygote?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They did a thing where they showed how you get money back. You get like a free 2-4. You get a baby mouse and okay. You put it in the so it fits right. in the beer bottle.
Right.
And then you feed it so it gets a little bigger. And then you take it in and say you got a mouse in your beer bottle, which is cruel to the mouse. So
I guess
I don't recommend such
a
thing.
Mouse, did they catch the mouse first? Or
I don't. The details escape me. All right. Moving on from entitlement, like Zack Snyder, who thinks he's entitled to waste 4 hours of our time.
See, now I know for sure that there's no reason for me to watch it after hearing your review. I don't feel like we're going to follow up on part two.
I would watch it for the Wonder Woman scene off the top.
Okay.
And turn it off.
All right.
The Wonder Woman scene is worth it. The rest of it, not so much. Okay. All right. But Prince Harry got himself a job.
So this place that he's working at, it's called Better Up. Now, can you
Better Up?
Better Up. So I'm on there about.
Is that like a play on Batter Up or Butter Up?
So I'm on there. I don't know, but I think we need to maybe break down a little bit of what their mission statement here is.
All right. What's the to okay. employ useless royals?
So here's what it says on their splash page for About. And you tell me what this means, if anything. Changing the world by bringing the power of transformation to each and every person.
Oh, that means they don't do anything.
Okay, so here we go. Furthermore, since 2013, we have been pioneering growth for the whole person. We believe that well-being and peak performance go hand in hand, and that through custom support and strengthening mental fitness, you unleash personal and professional potential. The Better Up experience brings together world-class coaching, AI technology, and behavioral science experts to deliver change at scale.
You know what that doesn't answer? What do you do?
What do you do? What do you do?
What do you do? This is all a lot of dancing around the question. What is it you do? If I give you money, what am I going to get?
Here we go. Here are the values. They have their values.
And these are values.
These are fantastic.
Baffle with right. BS.
Hold on. Here they are. There's six of them.
All right.
Courage. And underneath it, dare often and greatly. Playfulness. Great ideas come from health and happiness. Empathy. Innovation starts with understanding. Craftspersonship. Wow. Find meaning in what we do through crafting excellence. Grit. Perseverance driven by determination and passion. And here's my favorite one, zest. What sets us apart makes us unique. You got to have zest. That is definitely a value that I have heard of. Zest.
I've heard that zest brings you back to life. Yeah, it's a soap. Wow.
He needs to call zest.
That sounds like a company that did some magnetic poetry with those inspirational posters with like pictures of eagles on them.
Yeah.
And a kitten hanging onto a tree?
It sounds like a pitch from a startup that wouldn't get funded on Silicon Valley.
It describes nothing. It's just a lot of words. It's a word salad that doesn't tell me anything. It is the most oblique, non-message. Like, what is he going to do there? What do you do there? When you go into work 9 o'clock in the morning, what do? You add to the transformative power of zest. What is it they do? This is like description of nothing. I'm going mad.
Okay, so proven effective positive change. So here's a little bit more completely ambiguous copy so that you can kind of maybe draw your own conclusions.
I mean, there's an art form to saying nothing in that many words.
It's incredible. We create hyper-personalized experiences for our members. And our
what does that even mean, hyper-personalized? This doesn't mean anything. These are words that are put together.
It's just all nonsense. Our interactive content analytics and real-time data also track progress and provide unparalleled insights for organizations and individuals. This is all fluff. There's no... Oh, wait a second. They're diverse and inclusive. Well, that's all that matters.
Oh, I mean, when you got that level of BS in your description, you're going to be inclusive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anybody can be suckered. They'll take you whether you're handicapped, whether you're male or female, whether you're short or tall, doesn't matter what your skin color is. They'll fleece you no matter where you come from.
Yeah, they're completely inclusive. Nobody is... So Prince Harry's
thing they're not inclusive of is what do you do?
Think about it. This is Harry's new title, Chief Impact Officer. What?
What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
It is so amorphous. What
happens when you walk into the office, he comes up behind you and hits you in the back of the head with a sack of pennies? Is that kind of impact?
Chief Impact Officer. How do you do performance reviews of the chief impact officer? How do you measure the impact that the officer has had? This is an entire company that is made up of magnetic poetry. This company does absolutely nothing.
They don't do anything.
Which will be perfect for a royal.
Yes.
I think that's why they're doing nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So they're an employee coaching and mental health startup.
How long did it take to get to that point? To get some clarity on what it is they do.
I had to find an article on the Wall Street Journal. And it's still a subtext. It's not even part of the...
Chief Impact Officer.
What experience... I mean, I know that on the Oprah interview, he was talking about struggles with mental health, but someone who struggles with mental health, why should they be in a position to be an executive at a mental health start? I mean...
Well, because it takes one to know one.
Shouldn't they be the recipient and not the...
If you've managed to develop techniques and strategies to work your way out of the affliction of mental illness, then that is actually valuable experience you can pass on to other people facing that challenge. In that way, it makes sense. But
I understand that anecdotally from one person to another, if you've gone through therapy, it's nice to tell them how it went and the kind of things. But shouldn't this be left to someone who, I don't know, maybe has a degree in medicine in this field? Like what qualifies him? He's not a doctor.
He's Prince Harry.
He's Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Prince is better than doctor, I guess.
Oh, well, yeah, in the hierarchy of the world, Prince is way above doctor.
Way above doctor. Yeah.
At least as far as marrying people.
It's weird.
Because, you know, parents always want their kid to marry a doctor, but marry a prince, even better.
So help me with this. Do these people are they joking when they come up with these titles? Like, are they just not taking titles seriously? Or do you think they take these titles very seriously
because they seem like they're completely made up. Thousands of dollars to come up with Chief Impact Officer.
What is
all of these charlatans feed each other? It's like a circle jerk of charlatans.
Yeah,
selling verbal snake oil.
Snake oil to each other, and they're just exchanging. It's just all verbiage. It's all hot air, and then in some way, it's all. I feel like these things are 95% marketing. The results don't really matter all that much because then they can just say, well, you didn't implement our system in the way that we told you to, so we don't owe you a refund.
This is like the mental health attitude version of Vinsanity.
A little bit, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Nonsense. Yeah. It's all marketing.
Absolutely. All marketing. And they did a good job. I mean, I don't buy any of those supplements or anything like that. And I paid, think about it. I paid $60 for a workout program I've been using for 2 years. It's $150 a month for a gym membership. So I feel like, you know, I was able to parse out what was real and what was nonsense and kind of make the most of it.
You could have found a good workout on the net.
I could have gotten it for free, but at the time I was feeling vulnerable. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to start.
You wanted to feel like you were actually taking a step and investing in your health and spending money makes you feel like you're investing in your health more than just getting something for free, because you value something you pay money for. You don't value something you don't pay money for.
Well, the funny thing is that when I pay the money for it, I have the result of the plan in my face right away. Whereas if I just sort of started grasping straws blindly in the dark, I might feel like I'm doing things wrong and therefore want to quit. And then I get no results, either, you know, physical or financial.
Didn't you quit this thing though, because it was a 90-day thing and you only did 30 days?
Well, the gym that I was at closed because like we had a gym in our building and it shut down because of COVID. So then I was like at a loss because I didn't have any of the weights or anything. So I was like, how am I supposed to do this? And then by the time we ended up back to where we are now, I kind of got into it like a slump of like, oh, I don't really feel like working out and blah, blah, blah. But then I was like, what am I going to do? Because I was like, do I buy weights? But then I looked online and the weights are super expensive. So then what I ended up doing was just kind of taking, they ended up coming out with a home workout. And so it's all sort of calisthenics and body weight.
Wait, the weights were too expensive, but if they were green and you could pour espresso into them, you'd probably buy them. All right. As much as your physical regimen is fascinating to everybody, we are running out of time.
Okay. Well, we'll pick this up again, I'm sure. It seems to be a through line.
Yeah. I hope that we don't have to pick it up again. I hope we have things to talk about that are more interesting than your physical workout regimen. But invariably, we will fall back onto something like this when we only have a few minutes left. All right. Anthony Howell's with me. Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun.
And I'm Ed the Sock. You can find me on Twitter at Ed the Sock, on Instagram, Ed_the_sock. And on Facebook, you can find me under the name Ed the Sock. So elementary, my dear Watson. That's
email. It. Yeah. Don't forget email questions, comments.
Oh, yeah. Email. If you want to email us, the email is ed@funetwork.tv.
The floodgates are trickling.
Ed@funetwork.tv. Don't talk when I'm talking. Ed@funetwork.tv. All right. So email us. We read the first two today. We're looking forward to reading more. All right. That's it. I'm Ed the Sock. This has been Ed the Sock Lives. That sounded anemic. On Saga 960 AM. Ed the Sock Lives.